We're going to start with the Mishnah on Kuftet Zayin Amud Bet at the very bottom. We're going to see a bunch of machlokot b'Chama Beit Hillel here. There's more. Oh no, I guess there's just one. Anyway, okay. Beit Shammai Amrim Tinaseh B'Tito. Right, the other one was yesterday, right? So yesterday we saw this machlokot b'Chama Beit Hillel. That's why I had more in my mind about the whether when they. I just want to actually. We talked about some stuff after class, and I want to talk about it here, which is that. We talked about that this Beit Shammai Beit Hillel had this issue about the there was a case where they matired accepting the testimony of the woman, and the whole question became, right, since that was the case where the rabbis matired it, the whole question is really how far do we take this? If we're going to learn, okay, the rabbis matured this case because the woman said her husband was dead, and then the rabbis checked it out and decided it was accurate, and then we said there were two possible reasons why the rabbis said it was okay. One, because they checked it out and she actually was being honest, which doesn't necessarily mean that everyone was going to be honest. But number two, we saw the issue that no one else came and reported, even though there were nine other people there. So then the question becomes, to what extent do we allow this heter? Okay? And likewise, we saw on the flip side, when they made a gzeirah because they were worried about the tumah, also something we pointed out after class, which I wanted to get on tape for those listening online, is that this case with the Efer Parah Adumah, which we discussed way back when, in Chagiga, they prepared so long ago, from the moment they take kids from when they're born and they keep them in a very special place, they only stand on boards so that they don't get tumah from the ground, and only when they're 6 and 7 can they start moving the Efer Parah Adumah and dealing with it, and it's a whole long procedure. So for them, it was very shocking when they had this Efer Parah Adumah that got messed up because they had been dealing with it for such a long time preparing for it. So then again, when they made the gzeirah, to what extent did they make the gzeirah? And that's the two issues here. And in the end, we kind of see that they're not exactly comparable. They're two pretty much different cases. And the Gemara says each case with its own issues. And in our case, it kind of makes sense that Beit Hillel eventually agrees with Beit Shammai, and which again we're going to see in our Mishnah today, that Beit Hillel adopted, right? We generally think of Beit Hillel as more, they're more Mekel. In these two cases, we're going to see that they were more Machmir than Beit Shammai, but in the end get convinced to Beit Shammai's opinion. So now we're going to see. Beit Shammai omrim tinaseh v'titol ktubata. Beit Hillel omrim tinaseh v'lo titol ktubata. Now we have a very interesting question. What happens to the finances here? Okay, because marriage and marriage ending is a financial issue. It's not just she can go marry someone else. Until now, we've only been discussing that she can go get remarried. But getting remarried comes with financial obligations of the first husband's estate. Meaning, as soon as she goes to get married with someone, she can demand her ketubah and say, I want all my ketubah money. And as it's clear you're dead, I get the ketubah money, and she demands it from the yorshim, the inheritors. So now, the whole question is, can we allow her, based on Eid Echad, which we don't ever allow Eid Echad in Dine Mamono cases, we only allow it in these special exceptions so that she can get married. And the whole reason is that she doesn't become an Aguna. Well, this has nothing to do with Aguna, this is finances. On the other hand, if we say we allow you to go remarry, but you can't take your ketubah, well, then it's almost like, so is he dead or is he not dead? It basically means we're assuming he's dead for half the issues, but we're not assuming he's dead for the other half. So it creates this big problem. So of course, machloket. Beit Shammai says she can have her ketubah money, and Beit Hillel says she can't have her ketubah money. We only allowed it for the sake of aguna purposes, and we've dealt with the aguna. Forget the money. Leave the money aside. Amrulahem, Beit Shammai says, forget about what I said. Okay, so it's half and half. He says, it's not even half and half. It's like 75-25. He tartar erva chamura, vilona tir mamona kal. If you're going to allow erva, that's like allowing something that generally we really don't allow, right? Ein davar sheba erva pachot mishnayim. And, you know, here we're allowing. And yet you're not going to allow mamon, which is kal. Amru lehem Beit Hillel, matzinu she'ein ha'achim nechnesim lenachala al piya. What do we learn? There's a separate halacha that Beit Hillel quotes, and he says, listen, if the woman says the husband died, and she goes and gets remarried, what happens to all of his property? So the brothers, or for all intents and purposes, his kids, if he has kids, don't inherit his property. Because based on Eid Echa, we don't allow Dini Mamano. So they can't claim his property. Okay, I didn't look into what actually happens to his property in that case. right? I don't know what happens to his property. If nobody can inherit him, I don't know what happens to it. Maybe it's like put in an escrow account or something. Waits around till they have real verification. So basically, if brothers can't get the nachala, then who's to say that she can get the nachala? Basically, what do you see? Dina and mamonot aren't determined by this eid echad. Amrulahem beit shama v'halomi sefer ketubah nilmod. But wait, welcome back. We're going to learn it from the sefer ketubah. What does it say? The sefer ketubah obviously doesn't mean a sefer. It's like they also call it get sefer ketubah. It's not a sefer. It's a piece of paper. What does it say in the ketubah? Shehu kotev la she'im tinas'ila acher titli masha ketuv l'chi. It says in the ketubah, if you marry, in the event that you marry someone else, you can take all your ketubah money. So what do you see here?
That they're linked.
Exactly. There's a clear link between the woman getting remarried and the money. Whereas when it comes to the nachalav, the brothers inheriting the brother's estate or the sons inheriting the father's estate, it's not connected to the mother, the wife getting remarried. So therefore, if, just to recap, if one witness comes and says, or the woman comes and says, my husband died. Based on her testimony, we allow her to get remarried, and then we allow her to take her ketubah money, okay? Because they're linked. Even though, generally, when it comes to the nachala, we don't allow the brothers to inherit, okay? And generally, with dinei mamonot, we don't allow eid echad. But in this case, we're going to allow eid echad, her, you know, her herself, to, it's allowing her to remarry, and it's going to allow her to get a ketubah. Okay. Now we're going to get into a more complicated case. Amar Rav Chista nityabma. Okay, nityabma yivama. So now what happens? We just said that the brothers don't inherit, okay? But what if the brother does yibum with the wife? Now the yibum, right, she's allowed to do yibum. And what do we say? The laws of yibum allow for the brother inherits. That's what happens. The brother inherits the nachala, which we're going to see in a minute. We're going to quote it from the pasuk, Yakum al shem achiv. Right? And what did we say? Kam is l'inyan nachala. Okay? We had that whole discussion. Who's Yakum al shem achiv? Who's the brother, right? It doesn't make sense to say the child that's born will be al shem achiv. It's not his brother. It's his father. Right? It doesn't make sense. So in the end, we said it has to do with nachala. So what does he say? Well, we say that the brothers don't inherit the brother who died. Okay, the man who died. Rav Chista says, but in a case where he did yibum with her, nichnas al nachala al piyah. And on what basis does he say this? He says, Heim Beit Shammai darshu midrash ketubah. They darshened out the words of the ketubah, right? What did they say? Because it says in the ketubah, if you get married, you can demand your ketubah. So, ana lo nidrash midrash Torah. We're not going to be darshening the Torah itself. What does it say in the Torah? Yakum al-shem achiv. So, if you do yibum, you clearly get the nachala. Okay, so therefore, even al-piyed echad, you should be allowed to get the property if you do yibum. Yakum al-shem achiv amar rachmana, v'harei kam, right? And he did it. Okay. Amrav Nachman. Ba'at lebeitim v'amra meit ba'ali. Now we're going to see some different situations that relate to this halacha of her demanding, of her getting her money. Until now, we're assuming the woman came to court and said, my husband died, I want to get remarried. Okay? And then we say, okay, besides getting remarried, you're allowed to get your ketubah. What if, ba'at lebeitim v'amra meit ba'ali, hitiruni linaseh, okay, that's the basic case. Okay, she says, my husband died, please let me get married. So they let her get remarried and they give her a ketubah. What if she says, my husband died, okay? My husband died, I want my ketubah money. Now we don't even allow her to get remarried, we don't believe her. My time, adata ketubah atai. She's coming for Dina Mamonot, and for Dina Mamonot, and it's, when we've matured her to remarry, so we're going to accept her testimony. But if she's coming for a dina mamonot issue, we can't accept eid echad for that. Okay, so if she's coming just to get her ketubah money, we don't accept it. Okay, that's a dina mamonot case, and we can't accept eid echad. Ibaya lehu, what if, now we're going to see a combo case, okay? Hitiruni linasei utnuli ketubati. What if she says, please let me get remarried, and while I'm getting remarried, give me my ketubah. Mahu, what do we say? Kevan da amra. Now we're going to see both options. Kevan da amra ketubata adata. Kevan da amra ketubata. Since she brought up the ketubah, do we say adata ketubah atai? She's really coming because she wants her money. Odilma, kol mile deit leila inish, amra lehula beidina.
She's being
When someone comes to court, they're going to put it all on the table. She's basically saying, I want to get remarried, and while you're at it, I want my ketuba money, magiali, right? So when she's coming to court, she's bringing up all her issues. Ve'imtim tzelomar, kol mile deit leila inish, amra lehula beidina. So if you're going to say that, then what about this case? It says, if you're going to say that the assumption is she's just putting it all on the table and therefore we're going to let her get her ketubah money, what if it's like this? Is the order important? If she says, I want my ketubah and let me get remarried, you might say, even though generally if you say it the flip, it would work. Do you say here at least it's clear that the money is what's motivating her? They changed the word to mishum. Mishum delo yada b'may mishtaria. In other words, she didn't. Right. In other words, she thinks, this is Rashi explains, she doesn't know what matures her. Is it the ketubah? Getting the ketubah money allows her to remarry. Why would she think that? Because the ketubah is what ties her to her husband. Once you demand your ketubah money, you're basically cutting yourself off from your husband's house. Remember?
And it's also logical in terms of, you're like, she's allowed the ketubah money if she's allowed it, whether or not she's remarrying. It's the first step.
Anyway, okay, so what? So I want to review about ketubah. We're obviously going to get to this all very soon. A ketubah works like this. Until you demand your ketubah money, you always get mizonot. So when she demands her ketubah money, it's usually because she's moving on. As it usually means that I'm done with you and I'm moving on. There's even like a whole sugya that's really interesting we're going to get to about if she starts to put on makeup and starts to dress up after her husband's death, does that mean already that she's done with her mizonot and she has to demand her ketubah? In other words, like the ketubah, remember, we talked about this. The mizonot is a constant like monthly payment, let's say, or daily, right? She gets food. But the ketubah is to say, I want the lump sum that you promised me. And once you demand that lump sum, you no longer get mizonot. So therefore, it really is like a cutting off point. So maybe she thinks that because I'm getting my ketubah, that cuts me off and that allows me now to remarry. Okay? So maybe she thinks I'm supposed to say it in that order. Because first she gets the ketubah, then she's free to remarry. And if that matures her, or is it that because she's allowed to remarry, then she could get her ketubah, right? She doesn't know. Right? The assumption here, obviously, is that women don't know halacha, right? That
since they're not teaching them, it's not unreasonable.
Right, exactly. Okay, so teiku, we don't know the answer, okay? These are all questions that we don't have answers to. Okay, new Mishnah. Hakol ne'emanim lahaida. Here we get into a great sugya about loving family relationships, or maybe not such loving family relationships, mother-daughter-in-law relationships, okay? All sorts of tricky, sneaky relationships. We're going to find out the perspective. This is like a good insight into what went on in those days. We're going to see some things that actually really interestingly reflect the times and what was going on. Hakol ne'emanim lahaida. Everyone can testify to her, right, for her to get remarried, that her husband died. Chutz mi chamota, ubat chamota, okay, her mother-in-law, the daughter of her mother-in-law, okay, meaning like her husband's half-sister, okay, they share a mother, not a father. Bitsarata, okay, her second wife, the second wife of her husband. Yivimta, which is an interesting one because it affects her also, obviously. V'yivimta, okay, this is an interesting one. The brothers, well, she's not yet chayav in yibum, okay? And she may not even be chayav in yibum in this case because they may have kids. But the person who, if she were to fall to yibum to the brother, that would be her tzara. She would, her future potential tzara. Okay, now there's a whole different question among them. First thing, would this be in the case where he doesn't have kids, where it's likely she's going to fall to yibum, or even if he has kids, because maybe the kids will die eventually and she might, she still is a potential, she might fall to yibum. In other words, how much do we keep this as a potential? What if there's a few brothers? So is everyone, or is it only in the case where there's only one brother and there's one obvious yibama, okay? Yabam, really. And in which case, the wife, his wife, would be the yibimta. Ubat ba'ala, the daughter of her husband, okay? Her stepdaughter, basically, from a different wife. Okay, so these five women, what's the concern? That they're going to lie. Why are they going to lie? Because they want to make this woman, they want to mess her up. Okay? So for most of the cases, what would be the case? It would mess her up because they'll say he's dead. She'll go marry someone else. Then he'll show up. And because Salpiedecha, what happens? Remember? And she'll have to get divorced from him. So they want to really mess her up and embarrass her. And right, it's a huge embarrassment for her. And it gets her out of the picture. Right? Okay. So now the one tricky one is the Yevama. Because if the Yevama doesn't want her to become her tzara, in theory, by saying that he's dead, she's going to become her Yevama. Understand?
Only until he shows up.
Ah, right. Okay. So Tosfot asked that question, and I think that's what his answer is, if I remember correctly. That, in other words, in the end, it'll become an embarrassment, and then, but there's actually... right, she'll mess her up. But I think there's an issue that if it's your Yavam, she doesn't become usher to the Yavam ultimately. It's like a weird situation when it's a Yavam case. I forget the halacha, but anyway, it's a good question. There's an answer, but it's a little trickier, that case. Okay. Ibai Elihu. So now there's five cases, okay? Chamuta, bat chamuta, tzarata, yivimta, be'at ba'ala. We're going to get into details of each one, and we're going to talk about ones that are missing here. Okay, in the discussion of ones that are missing, we're going to talk about what makes these usher and how it affects others. Ibai Elihu, bat chamiha mahu. We said the daughter of her mother-in-law, but we didn't say the daughter of her father-in-law. What if? What?
Did you say about the get?
Oh, you're right. I skipped a line. Okay. Ma ben get lemita, shaktav mochiach. Thank you for pointing that out. What's the difference between get? Now, all these five women are believed if they bring a get and they say, here's a get, and we know it's kasher, okay? We're bringing a get of this woman, okay? If they bring the get, their testimony is accepted. But if they come and they testify the husband's dead, it's not. So what's the obvious difference? Which you could have guessed anyway. Shaktav mochiach. Because they have a shtar in hand, the assumption is they didn't go agadekach and forge a shtar. Okay? Maybe lie that the husband's dead, although I find it hard to believe that they would lie that the husband's dead when it might actually become clear that the husband is alive and they'll end up looking foolish. But I guess as foolish as they look, they've still made the woman much more foolish. Because in the end, no one's going to remember who was the one who gave the testimony, but they're all going to know this is the woman whose husband, you know, who got remarried thinking her husband was dead. And that will go around, but word about who exactly was the one who testified, less so. Okay, Ibai Elihu. So now here's the question. Bat chamiya mahu. Now we have to understand what's wrong with the bat chamota, and would it apply also for the bat chamiya? Okay? Meaning, she's got a mother, her husband has a mother and a father, and the father has kids from a marriage, and the mother has kids from a different marriage. So we're only worried about people that are, according to the Mishnah, that are daughters of his mother, not daughters of his father. So now we're going to say, are daughters of his father also included or not? Would it be the same logic? If it's the same logic, it would be included. So ma'u tama de bat chamota. So now we have to know, well, why is bat chamota a problem? Mishum di'ika ima de sanyale. Is it because the mother hates her? Okay, the assumption is the mother hates the daughter-in-law. And if the mother hates the daughter-in-law, right, it's a very disturbing sugya. This reminds me, last night I went to a show at my daughter's school about Gil HaHitbagrut, okay? It was this whole show about the separation between the parent, the mother. It was specifically about mothers and daughters at that age and how they're totally... on different planes. And it was a very disturbing show, I found. A bunch of some of my friends were really disturbed by it because it put things, it's true when you do a show, it's black and white and you want to do extremes, but it was so extreme that it was so unrealistic. I feel like here also, like, yes, it's true that there's issues sometimes between mothers-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, but they're creating such an extreme situation that it's really hard to relate to on a real level. Like, was this hatred so, again, it's hard to think about the reality in those times, but I still have a hard time believing that the hatred was so strong that this could be.
It's so prevalent in so many relationships that it would come up as a matter of fact.
Right, so right.
It's not the journey. It may have happened, but it would
right.
have to have been the
exactly.
Status.
But I guess the point is that you could look at it like this, which is how many times anyway does a mother-in-law come and testify that her son's dead? You know, to try, like, it's not a very common occurrence that the guy disappears and the mother-in-law comes and testifies the guy's dead. So the question is, in those rare cases when it does happen, do you have to be concerned that she has ulterior motives and that maybe they're, just like we said in the Mishnah, when there's tata ben ola bena, so we're going to judge the situation differently, right? Not that every marriage has ktatot, but that there might be marriages that have ktatot, and then we have to look at the situation with different eyes. So maybe you could look at it that way, that this wasn't a common occurrence, and we're not saying it applies to everybody, but if a mother-in-law shows up, do we have to be concerned that maybe there was something going on here? Because we do know that there are relationships that could be terrible between mothers-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, even nowadays. Okay, so now, is it because the mother hates her, and therefore the daughter also is going to be, right, you have the solidarity? Odilma, and therefore, when you're talking about the father-in-law doesn't have that hatred toward the daughter-in-law, so his daughter's not going to have that hatred. Odilma, tama debat chamota, de amra ka'achla ligir sana de ima. Hachanami ka'amra achla ligir sana de bein nashay. What's the issue? Or is it a financial issue? It's not a hatred issue, it's finances. The mother, right, eats from her husband's property, who's the father of this guy. Now, what happens when the father dies? The son inherits. The son has a wife. That's our woman in question, right? So now, if we say, if the father were to die, what would happen? The wife would basically get the property that the mother wants, right? In other words, all the inheritance of the father is going to go to the son, in which case, this woman's going to be the beneficiary of it because she's married to him. And therefore, she doesn't like her because he's taking away inheritance from her. Now, if that's the case, right, basically she's eating, Girsa really means her ma'aseh adah. Remember, she works, and anything she works and makes goes to her husband. And her husband's stuff is going to go to the son. So she feels like this woman is basically taking away her, you know, her, or will in the future take away her ma'aseh adah, all the stuff she worked for. So therefore, it would apply also to anyone married to the father. Anyone married to the father, it's going to affect, right? So any of the father's kids are going to be affected by this because they're going to lose out on the father's property as soon as the father dies. So is that the issue or is that the issue? Tashma, let's learn from here. Hakol ne'emanim l'ha'idah chutz mi'chamesh nashim. This goes back now to the first Mishnah. Remember, there were 15, 15 and not 16, 15, not 17, right? We're going to have the same thing here. It says just 5. V'im itan, if you want to add that one, well, then shitavyan, there would be 6. Let's say no. You could say, Dilma tama debat chamota, damra ka'achla legirsana, debenashai, loshna bat chamota, veloshna bat chamia. That maybe the bat chamota includes the bat chamia. It's all the same thing. But then they say, bahana. Okay, now we have a separate question. So now we've said, you could just say that it's an extension of that one, it's the same thing. And there really are 5, it's just bat chamia or bat chamota. So then they say, wait, we have another question though. Bahana antnan, don't we have right, it's a braita. The Masoret HaShas says it should be HaTanya. Tana means Mishnah and Tanya is a braita. Doesn't it say in a braita, Chutz Misheva Nashim? Oh, wait, 7. It says in our Mishnah 5. What does it say? Hahi Rabbi Yehuda. That braita is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Ditnan, Rabbi Yehuda Mosif. Here it's also, I assume, to Tanya. Yeah, to Tanya, it says in a braita, Rabbi Yehuda Mosif, Av Eshet Av VeHakala. Okay? He adds the wife of the father, okay? So the guy's stepmother, okay, and the kala, the daughter-in-law, okay, her daughter-in-law, okay, her son's wife is also. Now, if you think about these cases, these are the flip of the other cases, okay, and this is going to be very critical, right? Her daughter-in-law is the same mother-daughter-in-law relationship. Her father's wife is the same as the Bat Ba'ala, right? The daughter of her husband is the same relationship, right? The stepdaughter, she's the stepdaughter of the woman who was married to her, the guy's father. Okay, so it's stepmother relationship, which we all know is tricky, and mother-in-law relationship. It's just the reverse. It's her being mother-in-law and her stepdaughter. Okay, so now, so Rabbi Yehuda adds these two. So then they say to Rabbi Yehuda, Amru lo, Eshet Av, Hare Bichla Bat Haba. Kala Hare Bichla Chamota. In other words, we've already said those relationships. We've just said them in the reverse, right? But we mentioned, in other words, instead of saying it's just her and her mother-in-law, they just say it means mother-in-law relationship, whether it goes she's the mother-in-law or it's her mother-in-law, okay? And the same thing with the daughter-in-law. For Rabbi Yehuda, why does he have to say, add it separately then? Okay, so now he's going to have to say that the reason it applies in one direction is not the same reason it applies in another direction, okay? In other words, her daughter-in-law is going to be suspect for a different reason than her mother-in-law is going to be suspect, okay? Even though she's the mother-in-law of her daughter-in-law, right? It's the same relationship, but it's the flip, and that's going to affect things. Whereas the Chachamim hold that it's all the same reason, and therefore it's going to all apply. It's all included. You don't need to mention them separately. And what's interesting about this, they all agree that these relationships are included. It's just a matter of why. And is it this extension of one, or is it a whole different thing? For Rabbi Yehuda, Bishlama Chamota, Sanyala Lakala. Okay, her mother-in-law hates her daughter-in-law. Da'amar Ka'achla L'girsani. Right? Because what's the whole reason about the Chamota, the mother-in-law? What did we say? Again, there were two possible reasons. But you could say, it's because she's eating my food. Now, Kala, my time is Sanyala Chamota. But why would the daughter-in-law hate the mother-in-law? It's not because she's eating my food, right? Bishlama bat haba'al. And now we're going to go to the other case. The bat haba'al, okay, the daughter of her husband, the stepdaughter, desanya la'esha ta'av, da'amar ka'achla l'girsini. The daughter of the husband, okay, claims what? She's the stepdaughter. What does she say? This woman is eating my inheritance, okay? Right? This happens, by the way, in very, I've seen this, right? You have a stepmother, and everyone, the stepmother has very expensive tastes, and the kids are all upset. Look at, she's taking away all our future money. Okay? Exactly. This is it. Okay? Damakafa Ligirsini. De'aim, right? She's eating the stuff of the mother, right? Her maaseyadain. Ella, eshita'av, my time, asanya labata ba'al. But why is the stepmother angry at the daughter of her husband, right, which is this woman? It's not for that reason, right? She's not eating her stuff. Right, why would that be? One second. Esha ta'av. Sanya labata ba'al. Why? She could be eating her stuff, right? Why wouldn't that be the case? I don't think dafka that would be. One second. My time. One second. Just get that straight, Chris. I'm missing something. Din Hakala Mesha. If she's the daughter of the husband, right, that she hates Bat HaBaal. Sanya, she hates her ima choreget. Ah, I see. Sorry. She's saying, this is what I messed up. She's saying that if the, her, the, one second. Bat HaBaal hates the, okay. Here's the married couple, okay, that we're talking about. His daughter, right, doesn't like the mother because she's eating the food from her future inheritance, right? Oh, no, that's not. Bat HaBaal hates Esha Ta'av. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's the...
Yeah,
okay.
Because
mm-hmm.
she's eating the food.
Right. But Esha Ta'av, the mother of...
The wife of the father.
Why the wife
of hate her husband?
Of his father. Right. Why does she hate... The wife of the father, why would she hate her? Because she's not eating, right? She's not eating anything from the father right now. Maybe she will in the future, but she's not eating anything right now. Mm-hmm. Okay? She doesn't get food from the father of her husband. She only gets food from her husband. So therefore, there's no monetary connection between them right now. That's why. Okay. So now, Ella, my Mosif. Okay, so wait. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda says you can't learn one from the other. And that's why my Mosif Tarte. And that's why he adds these two. Okay? But, oh no, so now they ask. Okay, so now, so Yafet. So what does he explain? That there's no reason, right? You can't learn one from the other. So they say, Elamai Mosif Tarte. Well, then why does he add these two people? Now he's got to come up with a different explanation for each of these two people. So now he says a great answer. The great answer is going to come soon. Okay. Ella kala, my time asanya lachanota. So why does the daughter-in-law hate her mother-in-law, right? Her daughter-in-law, the woman who's married to the guy who, right? The daughter-in-law, why does she hate the daughter-in-law? No, this would be, yeah. Okay. Kala maita masanya lachamota de migale libina kol da avda eshet av. Kol da avda, period. What's the story? She tells her son, okay, this woman is telling her son, okay, this is where you see the interesting part about how they lived. Okay, what's the daughter-in-law, right? The daughter-in-law is her son's wife. So she reports back to the son all the stuff that she does. Okay, what do you see? That the women were all living together, basically hanging out. The men were out. And when her son comes back, she tells her son all the bad things that her daughter-in-law did. And therefore, she hates her. Reasonable, right? Mm-hmm. We would all hate that. Okay. Next one. Eshet av namisanya labata ba'al. Okay, now why does the wife, this older woman, right, the wife of her father's, of her husband's father, namisanya labata ba'al, why? Demigalela avia kol da'avda. She reports back to the father-in-law things about the mother-in-law, okay? Because they have a bad relationship, right? I'm sorry, it's not the mother-in-law. It's the wife of it's the stepmother-in-law. So she's reporting back to him about things that she does. Okay. Rabbanan. Okay, so now that explains Rabbi Yehuda why they're listed separately. Rabbanan. So now why does Rabbanan not think this way? Okay. And why does he say that it all comes from the same source, right? And therefore, it's all the same reason. Okay, how does he answer that up? So what do they say? Kimayim, this is a great line. Kimayim hapanim lapanim, kein lev ha'adam la'adam. What does that mean? When you look at water to your face, what do you see? The reflection, right? That's the way lev ha'adam la'adam is. If one hates one, then the other's going to hate the other. In other words, once one person starts with the hating attitude, it's going to cause hatred to the other side, and therefore it's all one source, right? Therefore, if she's forbidden to her, right, she's going to be forbidden to her. If there's already the mother-in-law doesn't like the daughter-in-law, well, then the daughter-in-law is not going to like the mother-in-law, and therefore it's all included in that first mission in those five cases, and you don't need to list them separately. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, what does he do with that pasuk? Kahi b'divrei Torah k'tiv. That's talking about Torah, okay? It's a pasuk that talks about Torah. And it means basically that if you learn Torah, right, just like Mayim reflects what you're feeling inside, right? So again, if you learn Torah, then the Torah is going to come into your life. Like if you open your heart to Torah, the Torah will come in. Okay? It's totally irrelevant to our issue. Am Rav Acha Bar Avya, Bai B'Mar Rava. They asked him a Rava question. Chamota haba'al achar mikein mahu. Okay, what did we talk in the Mishnah about the future potential Yivama, right? She's worried about becoming her, being her Yavama. What about the future potential husband's mother? Okay, let's say, okay, you have a father with a few wives. He has a bunch of kids from different marriages, so they're brothers for the purposes of Yibum, but they have different mothers, right? So let's say there's two brothers, okay, each have a different mother. So the one, right, her husband's mother is the Chamotah. But what about the potential Yibum's mother, the Yabam, the future Yabam's mother? Maybe she already is anticipating, just like the Yivama is anticipating, right? His wife is anticipating having a negative relationship with this woman. The mother-in-law might be, okay? So we worry about a future potential case. So, mi maska adata demit bal v'nafla kamei Yabam v'sanyale. Does she say, maybe the husband's going to die and she'll fall to Yibum to this guy and then I'm going to hate her? Olo, okay, this is a really extreme, right? Are we thinking future, right? So they're going to bring a case, but then they're going to say it's not comparable. Tashma, let's learn it from here. Amra meipali v'achar kach meit chami. Let's say a woman comes and says, my husband died and my father-in-law died, okay? So she testifies about her husband and her father-in-law, which means basically who should be allowed to get married? She and the mother-in-law, right? She's testifying about her mother-in-law. So what do we say? Tina seviti tol ketubata. She goes and gets married and gets her ketubah. V'chamota asura. But we don't accept her testimony when it comes to the mother-in-law. So therefore, the mother-in-law is forbidden. So we accept half her testimony. My time a chamota asura. La mishum da'amrina lo ba'ala meit v'lo chamia meit. V'had ka'amre hacha lekukule l'chamota hu dekamachave. So is it not because we say that why is she not believed? Because we think that really nobody died. And she was just saying this to mess up her mother-in-law. Okay? Now, Savra le batar shata lotete titzta around 1 second. But the issue here is also, once she says my husband died, she no longer has a relationship with her mother-in-law. You understand? So the Gemara is saying like this. Is it not really that her husband's not really dead? In which case, the woman still is her mother-in-law. In other words, as soon as she says my husband's dead, she's no longer her mother-in-law, and then you think they don't have a relationship anymore. And now, what's it a case of? It's about a future potential mother-in-law, just like the Yevama. Because in the case that her husband comes back alive and walks in the door, right, she's going to go back to being her mother-in-law. So it's kind of like the other case, where it's a potential mother-in-law. Okay, so they're saying, is it not because it could be really her husband's not dead and the Chamiya's not dead? And the reason she says this, that they both died, is what? She wants to mess up the Chamota, right? And what does she say? Once they come back, right, lo teitz ta'aran, my mother-in-law, what's going to happen? If the mother-in-law, if she really testifies like this and we believe her, what's going to happen? The mother-in-law is going to go marry somebody else, right? And then she'll be forbidden to go back to her first husband. And then she won't bother me anymore because she won't be my mother-in-law. You know, like she'll won't be married to my father-in-law anymore. Like she'll be, although she'll still be the mother-in-law because she's still the mother of the guy. But they're saying
she'll be in a different household. She'll be in a different household.
Right, she'll be in a different household. Exactly. And she'll be totally embarrassed and, you know, she won't have power anymore. It'll basically remove her from a position of power. She's basically saying, my mother-in-law will be a nobody, you know? She won't be able to bother me anymore. And therefore, right, even though there's no, right, the real issue here is that right now, it's a chamotah ha-ba'ala charmikein. And that she now is not her mother-in-law because at this point, she's no longer married to her husband. Her husband's dead. So you could say that it's only a future potential because when the husband comes back, okay, and that's why it's Esther. But then they say no. Dil mashane hatam, didi ragish la tzara. They've already had a relationship of tzar, right? It's a future mother-in-law relationship, but it's a mother-in-law relationship that already existed and doesn't exist right at the moment, but will exist in the future again.
Cool.
Where, or could exist, right? Whereas the Yevamah case, the mother of the Yabam, is, they've never had a relationship yet. To start building on that she's going to lie in that case is really far-fetched. Okay, now we're starting a new case. What if Aidim come, and then another group of Aidim come, okay? And then it's going to depend, was she married, was she not married in between, okay? So we're going to chart this out, okay? We're going to have the first set and the second set, okay? So the first set says, Aid Omer Mit, okay? So who said, okay, the first one is always going to be Mit, and the second one is going to be Lo Mit, okay? So now, who says Mit? Aid Echad. Okay, Eda Chanomer Meit. Let's even just do it in numbers. It's easier. Okay, one witness comes and says he died. And then what happens? She gets married, right? Uba, and then Benisait. Okay, Uba Acher Va'amar Lo Meit. Okay, so now, Harezo Lo Tetze. Right, it's one against one. Okay, this is going to be like a numbers game. It's one against one. So what do we say? No problem. If she already remarried, we let her remarry.
Stay married.
Let her stay married. Thank you. Eid Omer Meit, Ushnayim Omerim Lo Meit. Okay, what's going to happen in this case? Apo Pishen Nisei Tetze. Okay, she's going to have to get out of this marriage because we have two witnesses now. We're going to ask a lot of questions on this, so let's not ask our questions. Right. So now, that's the case we saw before, right? The two witnesses come? Okay. Shnayim Omerim Meit. Okay, two say the guy died. Ve'ed omer lomet. Okay? So, this is going to be also obvious. Afal pi shaloni seit, tina se. Here, even if she's not yet married, she can go ahead and get married. Even though now we have one witness who says lomet, but two witnesses obviously establish the facts. Okay, so now we're going to go case by case. The first case, what did it say? Met ed echad, and she got married, and then two come and say lomet, right? What happens? She doesn't have to. Sorry, Erechad. Comes and says Lomet. Right? Write this one. Okay. One says Lomet. I didn't write this at all. Okay. Sorry. The second case is two, and the second case is one. Okay. So one against one. So what do you mean? Ha lo nisei lo tinasei. That Tama dinisei. Ha lo nisei lo tinasei. What? If she hasn't yet gotten married, she can't get married. If it's one against one. Didn't we say v'hamar ula kol makom shemina Torah ed echad hare kan shnayim? If the Torah says we believe one witness, it's like shnayim. So we're going to say that this one is equal to two, in which case, when one comes along after and contradicts it, it should be meaningless. So why can't she go ahead? It's one thing to say, fine, she's already married, don't let, she doesn't have to go out. But why would you say that? You should just say she can even get married, right? So what do they say? Right? One is not going to override two. So hachi kamar, really read the Mishnah like this. It's not exactly like you read it. Read it like this. Ed echad omer mei. Remember, what does it say? Harei zo lo teitse. Okay, so now they say it like this. Ed echad omer mei, v'tirua lina se, and they allowed her to get remarried. Uba acha ba'amar lo meit, lo teitse mehetera harishon. In other words, if they allowed her to get remarried, not that she did yet, okay? She doesn't leave that original heter. She's always allowed to get married, okay? So even if one comes after, it doesn't disallow her to get remarried. Okay. Second case. Eid omer meit, right? And what did we say? And shnayim omrim lo meit. And we said, right, even if she's married, she has to go out of the marriage. So they say, pshita, obvious, what do you mean? De'ein dvarav shalachabim kom shnayim, right? Two witnesses are not stronger than one, okay? So obviously we're going to believe the two. They say, lo tzricha b'psule edu. Ukid Rabbi Nechemia. Detan Rabbi Nechemia omer, kol makom shemina Torah ed echad, halacha charov de'od, v'asu shtei nashim b'ish echad, k'shnei nashim b'ish echad. Okay, what does this mean? First answer is going to be this. It's not so pashut because it's not talking about two regular edim. It's talking about two psule edim. Okay, like let's say they were brothers who saw this happen. Two brothers can't come to court generally. But what is it? What does Rabbi Nechemia say? Rabbi Nechemia says, whenever the Torah believes Eid Echad, we always go by the majority. Okay, that's what it means, Rov Deo. So therefore, Asu Shnei Nashim B'Ish Echad, K'Shnei Nashim B'Ish Echad. If you have two women against one man, the two women are going to win because there are more people. Okay? So therefore, here also, even though these are Psule Eidim, let's say they're women, or they're anyone who's generally a Psule Eidut, because we accept Psule Eidut in a case like this, for good purposes in general, therefore we're going to go after the majority, and that's what it's teaching us. Even if the majority isn't a halachic, right, from two kosher witnesses, we're still going to accept it. V'bayit emo, or you could say, kol hecha da'ata ed echad kasher me'ikara, if one good witness came, me'ikara, afilu me'a nashim ke'ed echadamyan. If you have one good witness in the beginning, then even 100 women after are like Eid Echad. So now they're saying different from what he just said. This is a different explanation. This means that women can never add up to men, even if they're more. Okay? Ela kigon, so what's this case? Da'ate isha me'ikara. Okay? The first witness that came was a woman. V'tertza l'd Rabbi Nechemia ha'achi. Rabbi Nechemia omer, kol makom she'emina Torah Eid Echad, halacha charov de'ot, v'asu shtei nashim b'isha achat, Kishnei anashim b'ish echad. Okay? Two women against one woman is the same as two men against one man. Okay? Aval shtei nashim b'ish echad kepalgo palgadami. But if it's two women against one man is going to equal two women, right? This is clearly not kind of Gemara you like to read, right? That basically two women together, when they work, they're only equivalent to one man. Okay? And therefore, what was the case? It was a case where one woman came, and then two women came and contradicted, and that's what they're telling you. The two women can override one woman, but not two women can override one man. If it was one man, it wouldn't work. Okay, last part for today. Shnayim omrim meit, right? And then one comes and says lo meit. So again, this is kind of obvious, right? Why would you believe the one guy, right? And obviously you would say she can't get married, and even if she... obviously we're going to believe she can stay married, right? She can even get married, because why would we believe this one in? So, my Kamashma, the Gemara asks, what's this teaching us? Is it maybe B'Psule Eidut, Ukud Rabbi Nechemia, like we said? It's talking about, even if there were two P'Psule Eidut, they still are strong, they have strength here over the one. Ukud Rabbi Nechemia, Da'azam Batar Rov Deo, because it says we follow the majority, but then Hainu Ha. Then that's the same as the second part of the mission. No reason to teach us that halacha. So what do they say? Mao detema ki azlina batarov deo lechumra aval lekula lo kamashmalan. What happened in the second case of the Mishnah? One witness came against two witnesses, right? The whole thing is We believe the witnesses to allow her, right, to say, we're going to be machmir and not let you get married now because, what's the issue? Two, right, what happens? One woman comes and says it's allowed, to, or whatever it was, right? One man, and now two psule edim, let's say two women come and say he's not dead. So generally, right, what do we say, according to the first reading, let's say, of this case? The first reading is that two women count as two good witnesses, and they can contradict the testimony of the first guy. But now, what does it mean? If they contradict, what does it mean? That what's the halacha according to the Mishnah? Afa pishani seite say she has to get out of this marriage because maybe they're right. What is that? That's going l'chumra. So yeah, well, allow these two women to be believed l'chumra, to basically make it difficult. But the second case is saying, right, we have two who say, two psule edim, two women come, and then one man comes to say, oh no, he's not dead. First the two women said he's dead and you can get remarried. So if we say Rabbi Nachemya, what do we say? We believe the two women. They're good testimony. This one guy comes. It's meaningless. But now, you might think that that's going to allow her to get remarried. That's a kula. Do we rely on these two women, l'kula also? Or is Rabbi Nachemya's halacha about the psula edim that we go based on majority numbers? It's all a number game, right? We have more that say this as opposed to that. That's what we go by. We go by the more. Is that only l'chumra or also l'kula? Okay, and therefore the Mishnah teaches us it's even l'kula, which actually makes a lot of sense here because the whole reason they matir psula edim and women and Erechad was why? Because we want to allow this woman to get remarried. So it actually, it's almost a strange question. I think the Gemara is trying to struggle with what's the Chiddush in this case. Now, we know that sometimes they're not Machadish cases. They're just trying to tell us all the permutations. So that's one way of reading the Sugya. It's just another permutation of the case. But if you want to take the Gemara's approach, then you'd have to say that it's a Chiddush here that it doesn't only work to usher her to get remarried, but it also works to matir her to get remarried. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd come for today.